Right now, we're going to give you a little stock watch before we get back into a lot of the Last Dance documentary. Out of Bounds today brought to you in part by Toyota of Easley. They're one of the few dealerships in the upstate that can sell you a car completely from their website. I can't wait till there's a point, Kwok, where we don't have to tell people this. Of course, we can keep telling them because even when we get back to normal, you might want to buy it from your website or might want to buy a car online, which is totally fine. But I will be excited when that's not a main selling point, right? When we can really get back out there. That being said, Toyota of Easley is open. They're open normal hours at 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway. They'd be happy to take care of you in person or online, of course, at toyotaofeasley.com. They also have a huge deal going on with tires. Buy three tires, get one free. Tires for every make and model, current rebates on all manufacturers, and a $50 mail-in rebate. They'll beat anyone's price. They can install while you wait. Think of them as your personal pit crew. First year, you got 100% warranty. Second year, 50%. No one offers this but Toyota of Easley. Check them out today. Give them a call, 864-855-2233. And go ahead and get that process started to buy a car online at toyotaofeasley.com. It is time now, Kwok, for our Stock Watch, which is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Let's get it done.
This week, it's time for the Stock Watch on Out of Bound.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it.
Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Roller coaster, ups and downs, you know that.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
We're going to start in the National Basketball Association, which, of course, we've talked about with The Last Dance, Kwok. But we also have some really good news from the NBA as they try to take this momentum from The Last Dance and possibly restart their season and hopefully restart their season in some sort of, you know, not too normal way, but some sort of normal way. And this is from CBS Sports that the NBA is exploring the idea of allowing fans to attend games in the 2020-2021 season at a 15 to 20% capacity. So right now, it feels like the NBA is pretty decided on not having fans at games for the rest of this year. And part of that is because you've got these indoor arenas. It's not a football stadium. It's not a NASCAR track. This is an enclosed space. But Adam Silver feels pretty confident that they can have some fans in these arenas next season, which, again, could start as early as Christmas Day, maybe even earlier. And Adam Silver said, assuming a vaccine isn't coming anytime soon, which, who knows, we might have a vaccine sooner than we think, maybe sometime next spring, and that might change things. Assuming a vaccine isn't coming anytime soon, are there things we can do in our arenas where maybe we can't have 19,000 people, but we can have 5,000 people or 8,000 people? Are there protocols that allow for that? He thinks that there very well could be. So a recent estimate suggested that 40% of NBA revenues derive from fans attending games, which is honestly more than I thought. I don't think it's as bad as Major League Baseball, but it still is a big chunk of their revenue. So this is a positive that the NBA is looking ahead towards possibly getting this season going, and they have some time to finish it if they're not going to start back up till Christmas with next season, and that the NBA is considering having people attend games next year, possibly, only if it's safe. So stock up to the NBA.
Yes, absolutely. I love that idea. And I really like, again, we know more about, you know, about being outdoors and how much safer it is to be indoors now. And so we can start to make those plans. And it does seem like more caution. We thought it was about crowd size maybe at one point. It seems like exercising more caution in indoor venues is prudent at this point based on what we know, and hopefully we'll know more how to integrate some sort of fans back for 2020-21. I know normally I'm against the long range. You know this. I've said it multiple times. I'm more against the long range planning. Like, we're not going to do this until this way far out date. But in this case, I think it is actually prudent, based on what we know, to use that information and try to provide maybe just a way to get this season over. Just make sure we can get it over with. And then we can, while we're doing this in a very rudimentary, very stripped down fashion, we can make plans about how to build it back slowly but surely in the future. I like that.
For sure. Stock down, Kwok, to FC Seoul. I sent you this story a little earlier today. They're having to apologize because it appears that, you know, a lot of soccer leagues especially are starting back up, and instead of having fans in the stands, which they can't, they're putting mannequins, or in the KBO they have banners that have human faces, and so it kind of looks like you have fans. Well, FC Seoul in South Korea inadvertently, so that's allegedly inadvertently, we'll see, substituted supporters in the stands with sex dolls during their 1-0 win over Gwangju FC on Sunday.
Of course.
And of course they're apologizing, Kwok. They'd like to apologize to the fans. They're going to get fined. This is a big problem. And as the game progressed, however, so we started to get suspicious, and by we, I mean the Korean people and the people in South Korean social media, started to light up because it became apparent to viewers that these mannequins, supplied by a local company, Dalcom, whose CEO is a Seoul fan, looked very much like sex dolls. And so the team said they want to apologize to the fans. We're very sorry about the supporting mannequins that were placed during the game on May 17th. These mannequins may have been made to look and feel like real humans, but they are not for sexual use, as confirmed by the manufacturer from the beginning. Our intention was to do something lighthearted in these times. We will think hard about what we need to do to ensure that something like this never happens again.
You know, I feel bad for the team, certainly, and I feel bad that they have to apologize. I also feel bad for the team employee in the marketing department who got a bunch of regular mannequins delivered to his house and doesn't really know what to do with them now. So that's another part
of it. The main red flag was that some mannequins held signs offering messages of support for the players, and some mannequins held signs that seemed to reference adult content streaming sites.
Oh, no.
That was the problem.
Which, I mean, honestly, it could be a game now.
Yikes.
It could be actual fans.
What are
now.
We doing? You know,
we don't
someone was
the signs.
Someone involved was just playing a prank, and they got away with it. They got away with it, it appears.
Goodness gracious. All right, stock up. I'm going to say, you were talking about stock up to the NBA. I'm going to say stock up to every sports league. This was a really good weekend for a lot of sports leagues. Like you said, the NBA seems to be getting closer. There's more consensus now. The NFL is getting closer down the road. College football, the conferences seem to be closer down the road to something resembling a normal season. And then you had NASCAR that came back. Professional golf's come back. Bundesliga. So we got good stuff going on, KBO. Good stuff going on. Proud of you, sports leagues, giving us what we want and really what you need to try to get your revenue back. So stock up there. Stock down to Major League Baseball, because really I could say stock up to every sports league, except MLB, because this document of what you can't do during games is gotta be the most ridiculous thing that I've seen since maybe last week's Stock Watch. Kelly, no spitting in baseball. That's like half the battle, Kelly.
I thought it was no crying in baseball.
Spitting. There is spitting. There's no crying. There is spitting. You can cry in baseball but can't spit. That's not baseball. That is tyranny. You can't tell me that we're going to play baseball without spitting. You can't do it. Like my mom said, half the game is spitting and scratching. That's what you do. Spit
oh,
and scratch.
My God.
Listen, that's what it is. That's what the game is. You know, that's what baseball is. That's why it's so great. That's why you love it. So you can't spit. There's no sunflower seed in it. And on top of that, they put a bunch of things in this document that are already against the rules, and they're like, no fighting. As if we were, like, totally pro-fighting before, but now you really can't fight. Like, I'd be so mad. I'd be like, I got suspended 6 games for fighting last year, and only now we're making it a point of emphasis that we can't fight? Are you kidding me? They're like, no, blah, blah. There's, like, 4 or 5 things in there where They were already against the rules. Like, you could get fined right now for chewing tobacco, but they're like, really? No chewing tobacco right now.
We really mean it this time, guys.
I got fined for it last year. Like, why is this in the document along with no spitting, which is brand new? No spitting, no high fives, no low fives or medium fives, no touching of any kind, no we're not going to touch anybody. And oh, by the way, you definitely can't fight this year. Like, come on, we couldn't fight before. Stop acting like now you're getting really tough on fighting and that the reason you don't want people fighting is because they might touch each other in the process. That's really what this is about. No touchy. Stop being so sensitive to touching that you're trying to make it like you really care whether people fight or, like, this year we mean business about the fighting stuff. Like, you're not going to suspend people anymore for fighting than you did when they brought last year. Give me a break. Stock down to MLB for insulting our intelligence with this.
Are you more mad about the fighting or the spitting? Be honest.
I'm more mad about the fighting. Let us spit and then, you know what, be as mad about fighting as you were before. But don't act like more mad, like this year we're so serious about the fighting. We're going to so police the fighting. What were you doing before? I'm mad about that. Government acts tougher legislation against such and such crime. Like, why were y'all soft on that to begin with? Stop being tough. Because you told us you were tough on it before, and now we're really super tough on it. No, just stop. Just stop with all this stuff. Either we're going to let people fight or we're not going to let people fight. But it ain't going to be the touching part, the physical touching part of fighting that we're really against. Give me a break with that.
Wow, Quack. I didn't know that you would feel that strongly about this today.
MLB, pro fighting till 2019, and now we're anti-fighting.
So you definitely can't spit on someone during a fight, right?
You'd be thrown out
of the league.
Oh, my gosh. You thought what Pete Rose got was too much. Oh, man. You spit on somebody during a fight, you're going to jail, brother. We are not having that.
You
bring sunflower seeds to a fight? It's over. Your career is donezo. Contract ripped up, and you're out of here.
You know, we wanted to put him in the Hall of Fame, but he spit in that one game during the coronavirus, so we really have no choice now. Quack, stop. Oh, look, man. First of all, I'll say this. Very sadly, Phyllis George, a broadcasting legend, passed away this past weekend, but I want to say stock up to her because of what she did for the business, for people like me, for so many women in this industry. And she died at the age of 70. She was a trailblazer in many respects. She was the first female sportscaster on a major television network when she joined the NFL Today in 1975. And this is a statement from Sean McManus, CBS Sports chairman. The CBS Sports family is deeply saddened by the passing of Phyllis George, an icon in the sports broadcasting industry, who contributed greatly to the rich history and tradition of CBS Sports. Phyllis was not only a key member of a show that remains the gold standard of NFL pregame shows, NFL Today with Brent Musburger, Irv, and The Greek, but also a pioneer for all women in sports broadcasting. And I think because she was literally the first. She might not get as much credit as some other women, but she definitely blazed a trail. There's no doubt about it. And so many people had so many great things to say about her. And she is from Texas, which I loved as well. So stock up to her just for the impact she had on women in broadcasting.
The only thing I was going to add was trailblazer.
Oh,
in every sense of the word. And you said blazing trail, so I have literally nothing to add. That was a beautiful, right. That was a beautiful remembrance of her. And death is never good.
Right.
Sometimes death allows us to reflect on the greatness of people, and I think that was a sweet part of this weekend.
Yes, I agree. Now, on the complete other side of this, stock down to Ed Oliver, the former star at Houston, the defensive tackle. Remember, he was a big-time recruit. He went to play for Tom Herman at U of H, and then when Major Applewhite took over when Herman left, they had some big-time disputes. He refused to take off his jacket on the sideline, all these issues. He was arrested on charges of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon, per a report. He was arrested in Houston this past weekend. And it's really unfortunate, too, because he had such a great first year. And right now, it looks like he'll probably be suspended for a certain amount of time or whatever it is. So he's not really going to be able to build on his rookie season right away. The Bills are aware of the situation, but this is definitely unfortunate. And he was spotted in a white Ford Super Duty pickup hauling a trailer with a dune buggy through a construction zone and speeding. So again, Kwok, what do you always say if you are committing other crimes? Do not speed, especially through a construction zone, in a massive truck with a dune buggy on the back. He also had an open container of alcohol between his legs. So that's an issue.
Between his legs?
Yeah, just chilling. Like he was literally sipping
on it. You didn't even want to put that in the cup holder. Like maybe you wouldn't see. Literally right there.
Yikes.
Good job. Way to go, Ed Oliver. Hey, stock up to Martin Jarman. He was the BC athletic director. Really stock down to BC because he was doing a good job there. But stock up to him for becoming the first black athletic director at UCLA. That was a pretty, I mean,
big deal.
Heard Martin Jarman's name associated with UCLA. They moved kind of fast after I saw and heard the name. And what has been kind of a slowish process of trying to replace Dan Guerrero, the AD there, has kind of, I mean, it's heated up pretty quickly here. And now Jarman's going across the country. Really good news for UCLA because, like I said, he's very well-liked, well-respected at Boston College. In fact, there was some talk that maybe he would go back. I think he was at Ohio State. He would go back to maybe the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan State. He spent some time there, if I remember right. But going across country to take a prestigious job at UCLA. So stock up to him for that. Any thoughts on Jarman, Kelly?
That's big news that he's breaking through. And I always think it's really cool whenever any school has their first African-American AD or their first female AD.
Big time stuff. And quickly, stock down to gender reveals. Specifically, stock down
to saw that.
Having to do gender reveals because this never reflects well on you. You might get brownie points with the wife, but it never reflects well on you because you are going to be asked to perform some feat of human strength and courage. And if you don't do that thing, literally there's nothing to gain there. There's nothing to gain there. You saw the guy who struck out. His wife threw him three pitches. All he had to do was make contact to explode the balloon or whatever with a little ball. It exploded and say what the gender of the baby is. He couldn't do it. Gender reveals are way, way too much pressure on the father-to-be. Way too much. To have to whack a pinata hard enough that the powder comes out of it. To have to swing a golf club in a way that's like produces the right amount of, the right amount of explosion so we get the powder in there and all that stuff. Or to hit a moving object like a ball that your wife is throwing that, again, if you hit it, you just did what you were supposed to do, but if you don't, you're the laughingstock of the internet. Stock down to gender reveals because there's literally no way that a man can win them.
It is tough. It is tough. I don't know why the man always has to, you know, maybe we'll see one where the girl can hit it, can hit the ball or can shoot the ball or whatever.
I'd be great. That'd be great.
Put more pressure on the woman because I understand the man feels pressure during these times.
I will say you're also, like, the woman is also pregnant during this and the man is not.
Right,
so.
Right. You don't want to exert too much energy. That's
but,
true.
But, I mean, let's be clear, though. All the guy had to do was foul tip it. I mean, you didn't even have to hit it with the barrel. It was embarrassing still. I mean, even as I say, don't put guys in this position. Just make contact, dude. Just foul off the two-strike pitch, and you find out the gender reveal. You don't have to hit a home run. Ridiculous.
Just make contact.
That is Out of Bounds Stock Watch today, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. When we return, we'll get back to The Last Dance and wrap up the Jordan era in style, even though it was wrapped up legitimately 22 years ago. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
Crute LED display signs and virtual scoreboards offer peak performance with programmable, full-color, vivid LED screens at an affordable price. With multiple sizes available and carrying a 5-year warranty, Crute LED displays allow you to create your own custom message that is certain to resonate with your audience. Your business, church, or school can afford a multifunctional LED display sign. Let Crute LED show you how. KRUT-LED.com or call 401-8156.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer, ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
Created for adults 55 and over who seek to get the most out of life, Everland Clemson is a new community that fuses luxury and innovation with thoughtful design. Imagine a luxurious living environment free of maintenance and worries. Everland features five-star cuisine, a first-class spa and fitness center, tailored wellness programs, and plenty of space to spend time with family and friends. Visit everlandliving.com or call 499-8318 for more information. Everland of Clemson, 150 Pershing Avenue in Patrick Square.
At AutoZone, we've always been here to help you get what you need to go where you need. That hasn't changed. In need of an oil change? Right now you can get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And if you need something fast, you can get it fast, your way. Whether it's next day delivery or free same day pickup, in store or curbside, the choice is yours. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details on AutoZone.com.
This is Coach Dabo Sweeney. I remember how great it was to turn 21, but remember, just because you're 21 or over doesn't mean you can buy alcohol for anyone underage. In fact, you could face fines and jail time for a first offense. Upstate alcohol enforcement teams are enforcing underage drinking laws to save lives. When officers catch a minor with alcohol, they ask, who gave it to them? Don't let it be you. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
From nurses to truck drivers, doctors to grocery clerks, the front lines in today's crisis are filled with brave actions every day. And you can do your part by completing the 2020 census. This simple effort online, by phone, or by mail will help impact the next 10 years of healthcare, schools, and roads. All of our first responders need your response. So go to 2020census.gov today. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
We've got sports covered in Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
All right, hour three continues. Out of Bounds. William Quagmire, Kelly Grammett. Let's go to the North End Communication phone lines. Lee patiently waited through that whole segment and joins us right now on the North End Communication phone line. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Lee?
Quark, hope you're doing good, man.
Yes, sir. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, we're trying to. Couple things real quick. I was going to add something to that Rodman story from last night. That whole deal with the wrestling situation, actually, he had got connected with them back in March of that year and was at a pay-per-view that they had held in March, and it was originally supposed to be kind of like a one-off deal because him and Hogan had been together and stuff like that. And then they had approached him again about coming back because they were already wanting to do a Rodman and Malone wrestling match before they even got to the finals. And it just so happened that when he left and made that appearance on that Monday night show that got all the controversy, they ended up pushing forward with that idea. And I think it was like another month or two later they actually had the tag team match where those two guys were actually in the ring together. So that was kind of something that had been stretched out for a little while leading up to that point. But the other thing is, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week or not. I know you guys had threw up some ideas as far as like a future 30 for 30s. Man, I would love a slam dunk competition 30 for 30, especially going back in the 80s when – they had those great contests back then, and look at the history, especially like with Wilkins and Jordan and their rivalry when it just came to the slam dunk competition. Because I remember watching the one in Chicago, and that was literally high drama to the point that if they don't give Jordan a 50 on that last dunk, Wilkins probably beats him head up, and it was just cool. I thought it was a cool era when the slam dunk competition was really at its peak. I think that would be a pretty good idea for a 30 for 30. But anyway, and other thing, Quark, when you think about baseball, could we possibly be seeing our first ever spit zone for baseball players, only to be followed up by regulators in suits spraying the ground as soon as they get done? Because you know somebody in the players' union is going to say, "Hey guys, you got to give us a little bit of liberty here, because you know we're going to spit. I mean, you just can't play baseball and not spit."
Oh my goodness!
I appreciate it.
That is great, Lee. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I think somebody ought to negotiate that. There will be a spitting zone where that's where all the spit goes.
Do baseball players really need to spit that bad? Really?
No. Not any more than a normal human going through their lives. It is a part of the game, though.
Ugh.
It is a bit of a part. It might be a gross part, but it's a part nonetheless. Hey, this hour of the program is brought to you by our friend Brian Massey at IQ Capital Strategy. The market's rebounding. And the market's actually, right now, it's outperforming sort of the job prospects and the current and the economic prospects of businesses right now, because they're foreshadowing, hopefully, a recovery. They understand that the conditions for recovery are fairly sound at some point. You can get in on this while it's still on the way up with Brian, and he's going to be able to manage your money in a way that's super effective when it comes to taking that nest egg, minimizing your losses, and maximizing your gains over time. It's a hands-on approach. It's fairly aggressive, but it's not haphazard in the way that he handles your money. He can talk you through how his process and his approach to investing your money is a little bit different than what you're generally going to get from people trying to manage your assets long term. And it is the most unique way that I've ever seen. And it is a way that I find the most compelling that I've ever seen in terms of managing your money. Go by and see him. IQ Capital Strategy, 735 North Townville Street in Seneca, or call him 848-CAPITAL. That's 848-227-4825. That's Brian Massey and IQ Capital Strategy. Kelly, back to the documentary here for just a little bit. We talked about Rodman going and doing his NWO thing with Hulk Hogan. He comes back, has a really good game four. Then we kind of get to game six where Pippen hurts his back. He's in and out. That, honestly, that is such high drama. That 98 game six is the most watched NBA game ever. The ratings are the highest of any NBA game ever. And you could see why. Why in the world would you leave that? This is like the Jordan dynasty could either close it out today or they got to play game seven in Utah. Pippen is hurt, and so he's in and out constantly. Neither team really had a great stranglehold on the game at any point, and it came right down to the final possession.
That's the fascinating part about that game, is that Scottie Pippen is hurt, right? And it looks so painful with his back, and we know that he's had back issues for a lot of the second part of his career. And I thought it was really cool when they were in the training room and Pippen was getting his back worked on, and the reporter on the TV was saying, "Scottie Pippen, he's had back issues, blah, blah, blah." And Phil Jackson just walks in his suspenders and turns off the TV, changes the channel. And it just shows that even in 98, yes, you don't have social media, you don't have widespread cell phone use and all this, but it was still tough to escape the media when you were the Bulls and everyone, all the stories were all about you and everyone was so obsessed with what was going on there. And the other really important part about game six, and I'm sure Michael Jordan realized this. I'm not sure if he didn't say it in the documentary, but I'm sure that whole team realized it, that look, if we have to play a game seven, who knows how useful Scottie is going to be. And that's going to be a problem. Kwok, you know, I know, anyone who's played sports knows, if you're hurt, the easiest thing to do, if the most effective you're going to be, if you're injured and you can still go, is right then, right there. If you have to go to bed, wake up, stretch it out, warm it up, try to play the next day or the day after, yes, you might be able to get some treatment, but at least you have adrenaline going in that moment. And I think that's what kept Scottie Pippen going. There's no guarantee that if they play a game seven, that Scottie Pippen can even play. And I'm sure the Jazz find out more about Pippen's condition. They realize that he's out there just to be out there and he's not really that effective. They game plan for that. And it's a game seven on the road, and Jordan doesn't really have his wingman. Winning game six in that series was so important, and it continued the insane streak that Michael Jordan has, where he never played a game seven in the NBA Finals. That's crazy.
Unbelievable. It was. Watching Pippen go back to the locker room and get a few minutes of treatment, and then come back out and play for a few minutes, go get treatment and come back out. And then watching a couple of the plays that he made where he makes the play and it comes down and just looks wrecked. I mean, he just looks wrecked. It's kind of like the Jordan flu, food poisoning, mafia hit game, whatever you want to call it, in Utah, where he's mafia out here.
Hit. I don't think anyone's calling it a mafia hit, Kwok, but you right. go ahead with that.
It's the Salt Lake City Mafia. It was trying to take him out before the game.
We all know about that infamous Salt Lake City Mafia.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be a documentary coming out soon. You just watch. there's some other jokes about that I thought of, and I just need everyone to know that I passed on those. I'm not going to do that today.
Good.
But you see it in that game. You see it with great players all the time. They're hurt. They make a move, and, like, for 3 seconds, you forget they're hurt, and then they just slump up. It's like Jordan, you know, he, like, rises up, makes a shot, then they call timeout, and it's like all his energy just, like, leaves his body. Poof. And he just falls. Like, everything just collapses. He's sitting on the bench with a towel over his head, and he's, like, having to be dragged. His lifeless corpse is being dragged off the floor by Pippen. Then he goes out and, like, you know, makes a layup and, you know, makes a couple plays, and then he's just gone. That's the thing that I think of all the things that impresses me, particularly about basketball, because that's the sport that I played at the highest level. That's the thing that impresses me about super high performers in the sport is that when your body is legitimately screaming at you, you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few seconds in a possession, a couple seconds, where you can tell your body no and go make a move. And then it's not like you play for an hour and forget. Like, we hear stories of guys that, like, took shots in their, you know, bum limbs or whatever, and they played and they didn't even feel anything because they're – but I'm talking about injuries in the moment. I'm talking about legitimate things that you can't hide from in the moment. You can be like, nope, not right now, make that move, and then just as quickly as you get that little burst – you're going back down the floor, and it's like your body reminds you, oh, yeah, I'm broke.
Yeah.
That is the thing that feels, honestly, the most impressive and the least accessible to me about high-performing athletes is the ability to just do that and oscillate between those two states.
And with the NBA, what I find so impressive about teams that go on to win NBA titles is – you have to win so many games. I know baseball's a long season, but you are not running and sprinting and exuding the kind of energy that you are in basketball and baseball. I get that baseball's a marathon, but it's different. In the NFL, you got to win, 18, 19 games to win a Super Bowl? And yes, it's a different kind of sport, but in the NBA, you got to go through that crazy regular season, and then you have to play all these series and 7 games. You're flying back and forth, Chicago to Utah, all these types of things. I listened to a podcast recently with Draymond Green, and he talked about how difficult it was. Draymond, as some people call him,
yes,
talked about how difficult it was for the Warriors to stay. They had all that drama with Kevin Durant and all that stuff, right? But really, it was the fatigue, not just the physical, but the mental, because they won 3 in 4 years, and they were trying to win 3 in a row and all that. Jordan and the Bulls won 6 in 8 years. You're playing into June every single year. Yep. I know Jordan took a baseball hiatus, but it's not like he was just chilling and sitting on his couch.
Hey, baseball's going in June, Kelly. They're playing in June every single year.
That's true. There's a reason. There's a reason why three-peats are so difficult and rare. There's a big reason why.
It's
so tough. I think a back-to-back is obviously difficult. It does not make you a dynasty Pistons, but the three-peat,
the three-peat is one
of the most
up.
Difficult things to do in sports. I truly believe that. And so you're hearing all that come to fruition in game 6. And I think it's very possible, Kwok, if that goes to a game 7, the Bulls lose. Very possible.
I think
possible.
So too. I think you're exactly right on that, which leads us to Jordan's shot, where he'd already told us that Brian Russell, that he plays defense on his toes.
That was interesting.
That was interesting that he really scouted him well there. And with a little nudge, creates a little space to get himself open and make that jumper.
The documentary changed my perception of that shot, because I'd always thought Jordan pushed off a little bit, right? But when you saw, it was maybe the second or third angle they showed where you could tell Russell, his momentum was taking him to the left. He wasn't going to bounce back. And Jordan didn't push. Jordan just kind of touched him. I don't think it was a push-off. What was your perception of it going in?
My perception of it is that it was probably a no-call-worthy nudge.
I don't think that he forced him to continue his momentum that way. I think his momentum was going that way regardless.
I agree with that. And I asked myself this hypothetical because you're right. Some of the angles they showed, it very clearly looks like his body's going that way, and he just sort of uses the fact that his body's going that way to push back against the grain. But this is kind of what I thought of. He was going to take himself out of that play. Brian Russell was. If Jordan keeps his hands to himself, he's going to take himself out of the play. So I thought about this. Let's say there's a one-on-one fast break, and I'm ahead of a guy, and I pump fake, and he flies by me. And before I go up, I put my hand on his back and just nudge him, just to like make sure he's out of the way so I can get my shot off. He's already flying past me. He's trying to block my shot. I pump faked. If I put my hand on his back and just guide him or make sure he gets past me, I think an official could call that a foul. I think you could make a case that that's a foul, even though his momentum was taking him that way. You see my point there? Like I
don't think that was a foul, though.
He
didn't
know.
Push him. He touched him. Angle changed it for me.
I think he made sure that Brian Russell was out of the play.
I don't know how just tapping someone's leg makes sure they do anything.
Well, if he's already going that way, if he's trying to change direction, if I got my hand on his leg, he ain't coming back.
He was not getting back to block that shot.
I don't think so.
You think he could have gotten back to contest the shot better?
I think Jordan thought, if I make sure his leg is still over there, then I can get the shot. I don't think Jordan pushed him over there. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's a push off like he pushed him. I think Jordan made contact with him so that he could create separation so that he knew that he had room to hit the shot. I don't think it should have been called. I'm not saying that Jordan pushed off and they should have called a foul. But I'm saying I think it would be the same as it, let me put it this way. If they would have called it a foul, I think there's enough there that you could have said, you know, you probably shouldn't call it, but by the rule, maybe it is.
They would have never done that to Michael Jordan.
Well, no, they definitely wouldn't have. I mean, shoot, they didn't do it to Reggie Miller. I would also argue that the same exact wording that Jordan used to defend what he did to Brian Russell is what Reggie did to Jordan. Jordan was already on his hit. Listen,
Reggie shoved him.
I'm not talking about the effort that he used to two-hand shove. I'm talking about Michael Jordan was already moving backwards. You can see that. He's already stepping backwards to try to keep Reggie from getting a clean run out front. He's not going to let Reggie get the ball out front. He's already moving backwards, and Reggie helped him get where his body was already going. Now, that is very simplistic and not
that
really logically consistent.
That may be your biggest homer take of all time.
Listen, Michael Jordan said his body was already out of the play, so whatever I did to him doesn't even matter. That's essentially what Michael said. He had already taken himself out of the play. That's what people were saying after the game. He already took himself out of the play. Jordan already took himself backwards.
Reggie Miller
helped him go backwards. Went to the left, got the ball, hit the shot. If we're just going to say statement.
You tell me the difference between I'm going to tap your leg or I'm going to two-hand shove you out of the way.
That's not what I said. I'm not arguing any of that.
All right, well, I think your argument is ridiculous.
I'm saying the logic that if a player has taken himself out of the play and my action might have kept him there, that's not a foul. I'm just saying you could interpret that very broadly in a number of ways. I don't think that is a very good justification for what Jordan did was a clean play because Brian Russell fouled himself, basically. I didn't like the way that that was framed. I didn't think they should have called a foul, but I didn't like the way that was framed because there's a lot of times where somebody takes himself out of a play and I do an action to them. It happens every time in the NBA. They do the thing now where if you hook a guy on your back that you've already beaten, that's a foul. You see so many of those called today.
I think you, Reggie Miller, and maybe his dad would agree with you. That's it.
You don't agree
that's
with
a crazy
me
argument
saying
to make.
Anytime a player is going in one direction, if a player helps him get further in that direction, that's okay because they were already headed in that direction.
It's not the same. And I believe we have to go to break.
That is what Michael said.
Quack, we got to go to break.
Let's go to break. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
Hey, Tiger fans. Don Munson here, voice of the Clemson Tigers, and I want you to know there is no better way to support your Tigers than by being a member of IPTE. Membership starts at only $60 and provides critical support for our student athletes to be champions in the classroom and in athletic competition. Be a game changer and visit ClemsonTigers.com/IPTE or call 1-800-CLEMSON to join IPTE today.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
Fridge had enough after the extra action in the house these last several weeks? Now you have an excuse to get the new one you've been wanting. Lowe's can help with up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event, including an LG InstaView side-by-side refrigerator for $12.99. With a generous amount of space, you'll have even more room to store your family's favorites. Get it fast by ordering at Lowe's.com or via our app. Best part, we're offering 12-month special financing and free delivery. Offers valid through 6/3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $2.99 or more. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply, U.S. only.
That's the sound of disinfecting in your business and workplace. It's the sound of EnviroShield being applied by JanPro of the Western Carolinas to make your business safe and clean for your customers and your employees. Like never before, it's vitally important to have your business cleaned thoroughly with a CDC-approved, hospital-grade, broad-spectrum disinfectant like EnviroShield. This electrostatic spray uses a series of different spray models for specific areas and applications in your business. It's one of the most advanced and efficient disinfectants available anywhere. And JanPro of the Western Carolinas can bring it into your business. For a simple evaluation, call JanPro of the Western Carolinas, 864-458-3053. Get your business clean for your customers and your employees. Be prepared, gain knowledge, move forward with JanPro of the Western Carolinas.
If you're a pro who manages properties or replaces appliances regularly, it helps to have a go-to resource like Lowe's. We have the brands pros have trusted for years. Solid names like Maytag, Whirlpool, and GE. All easily ordered on lowesforpros.com and all quickly delivered to the job site with free delivery 7 days a week. Even better, you can get up to 40% off select appliances during our appliance savings event. Whatever you need today or any day, Lowe's is pro ready. Offers valid through 6/3. Free local delivery applies to appliances $2.99 or more. U.S. only.
From day one, the Corner Butcher in Clemson's Patrick Square has delivered high-quality meats, chicken, seafood, and pork to their customers, along with a selection of fresh produce. They have what you and your family need. Locally owned and firmly planted in the community, the Corner Butcher invites you in today to find what you've been looking for. Briskets, fillets, strips, chicken, lamb, fish, and ground beef, plus fresh produce as well. A part of your community, the Corner Butcher in Patrick Square, Clemson.
My Garage by Essex, the go-to place for vehicle maintenance. Whether it's your newer or older vehicle, we even repair those old classics of your grandparents that need some major maintenance or repairs to keep them going like the old days. We are professionals that perform high-quality workmanship with high-quality parts. Please stop in to see us at 551 Old Greenville Highway, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or give us a call at 864-633-5800.
Become a Roar Insider. Get the scoop with the Roar Newsletter and a chance to win prizes. Log on to WCCPFM.com and click on the newsletter banner from the Roar.
Yellow diamonds in the light. And we're standing side by side as a shadow crosses mine. What it takes to come alive.
Segment of the program. Glad to have you with us. I have now discovered the name, the actual name of the Pacer fan, Indiana Karen. Kathy Martin Harrison is her name. Dan Doggett just had her on. like as a guest.
Of course, he found her.
He did. He found her.
Do you think she was warned? Do you think anyone told her you're about to become a meme? Or do you think she was just watching it and she saw herself?
I really hope she wasn't watching it, because that few minutes of dread, like, oh no.
And you got to wait till episode 9, you know?
That's right. I don't like that.
At least the members of the Traveling Cocaine Circus, that came out early, you know? So they were good.
Oh, Lord. 654 Roar is the number in our final segment of the program. We've got basically just put a bow on Michael Jordan. We'll get to that in a second, and put a bow on this documentary. Our final segment of the program is brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. They want to make sure that your home, no matter what all you're using it for, no matter what all you're trying to do in your home today, is quite honestly just as spick and span as it possibly can be, and maybe even so that it's better and newer and fresher and healthier than it was before coronavirus. Now, that sounds crazy, because I don't even think we can conceive of a world where that's possible. But if you hadn't had your carpets cleaned in a while, or if you've had them cleaned using the detergents and the bleaches and the different composites that are attractive to the dirt that made your carpet gummy and gross in the first place, Zero Res wants to do a better job than that. Right now, you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean for just $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch services. Schedule that cleaning with Zero Res today. They're going to socially distance. They're going to make sure that you are totally secure in your home while they're working, and that their employees are protected as well. 558-7300. That's 864-558-7300. Schedule online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us on the North End Communication phone line. You talked about this earlier, that on that shot, regardless of what happened to get him free, that Jordan felt like he was so dead that he had to be as like the most fundamentally sound that you could possibly be with that shot, and held that follow-through at the end.
That is totally something that I did, and that every basketball player out there gets that. When your legs aren't with you, when you're tired, even if you just missed a couple shots, one thing I would always tell myself is just to try to hold your follow through a little more. And part of that is, especially if you don't have legs, the idea that you're holding that follow through means you're follow throughing as much as you can, or following through as much as you can, so that ball's going to go as much as far as it possibly can go, especially if your shot's been short. So I thought that was really interesting. Some people probably speculate that he did that for the picture, for the iconic moment, you know, because that picture is truly iconic, where he's holding the follow through a little longer and you see all those Jazz fans that just look shocked and depressed and they can't even believe it. So the picture turned out really cool. I can't fathom that Michael Jordan was thinking of his image during that time. I think he was just a shooter who knew his shot was short and he was trying to hold his follow through, which I find really cool.
Then we get to the end, where they're celebrating, they're having a good time, they go back to Jordan's room, to piano and all that stuff, and they have the, like, Kerr's speech. I thought Kerr's speech was great up at the podium and the celebration.
That was so good. Oh, man. Someone joked that he was basically doing a stand-up set, because he had some time up there. He had spaces in between his jokes. He was really, the timing was perfect with the joke. It was great.
It was very well done. Very well done. And then they kind of got back to reality of, this is it. Like, we're coming down off the mountain, and this is it. And it was interesting that Jerry Reinsdorf tried to get it back. They tried to go one more time, at least with Phil.
Well, it's tough when you try to get it back after you've already kind of ruined it.
Right.
You just shouldn't have said all that. I guess it was a different time, I know, but why did they all feel the need to say all these things before the season? You're putting the nail in the coffin before you're even ready. I don't know why they did that.
Jerry Reinsdorf, it seems like, kind of spoke out of turn.
Yeah.
And he went around Jerry Krause and was like, you can come back. Because I don't think Jerry Krause ever would have gone. In fact, if Jerry Krause would have gone to Phil Jackson with that, he would have gone to Phil Jackson with it. But he didn't.
And Phil might have actually come back.
Right.
Because he said he didn't want to do that to Jerry.
Right. And they had already basically said goodbye the whole season. They had the team meeting where they wrote down their thoughts and had a big thing where they burn it all in a coffee can, which I thought that was awesome. I thought that was a great idea.
That was so Phil Jackson, too. And I'm surprised that Michael Jordan wrote a poem.
I know. Man.
Steve Kerr totally gave us a lot of great insight in that documentary.
Here's the frustration with Jordan, okay? When Jordan says that he's kind of mad that they didn't go for number 7, I think he's mad that they didn't try. Maybe it wouldn't have come together. Maybe not. Maybe it would have been, you know, untenable, perhaps. I feel like some of the things, like Jerry Reinsdorf has a quote, and there's a interesting piece on this particular issue that Ramona Shelburne put together for ESPN this morning. And Reinsdorf basically, he reiterates what he said in the documentary, where he says, I don't think the other players, we're going to be able to sign him.
Yeah.
We know that in this era, there are players that have taken pay cuts to play with LeBron. There are players who have taken pay cuts to play with the Warriors. There are players who have taken pay cuts throughout time to play with champions. There are players who took pay cuts to play with the Heat. There are players who took pay cuts to play with the Lakers. Remember the Karl Malone late career, the Steve Nash late career?
Yes.
You can always find these players. And he was so concerned. Reinsdorf was so concerned about, like, Kerr and Longley and Judd Bushler, who wasn't even in the top 7 in the rotation, and Rodman, what they were going to get paid on the open market. He was like, we would have never been able to pay those guys. Kelly, I don't really think that was it.
You could have tried, Jerry. You know, you could have tried.
There are a couple things here, okay, and we can close out the show with this. I've got some more stuff to talk about with this, but we can save it for tomorrow because they're a little bit in depth and it might lead to some bigger discussions within them about greatness and what it means and maybe why the Bulls haven't been able to get back and all this stuff. The top 7 guys in the rotation: Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Kukoc, Longley, Harper, and Kerr. Okay, mm-hmm. I just went those 7. Their combined salary in 1998 was $53.47 million.
That's so crazy considering now.
Well, listen to this. The Bulls' salary as a team was $61.3 million, okay, as a team.
And 30 of it was Michael Jordan.
$33.14 million was Michael Jordan. You know what the league salary cap was in 1998? $26.9 million.
Really?
Michael Jordan made more than $6 million more than a team was supposed to make in the salary cap.
So you're basically telling me, why would the Bulls care about going over the salary cap when they've been over the cap this whole time?